So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, chapter number 6 entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed, text number 30. Atascha manavah kale ijire rishayo pare pitaro vibhuda detya manushya kratu birvibhum Tataha, thereafter, cha, also, manavaha, the manus, the fathers of mankind, kale, in due course of time, ijire, worshipped, rishayaha, great sages, apare, others, Pitaraha, the forefathers, Vibhudha, the learned scholars, Daitya, great devotees of the demigods, Manushya, mankind, Kratubihi Vibhum, by performance of sacrifices, to please the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Thereafter, the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the Daityas and mankind performed sacrifices meant to please the Lord. Translation, please repeat. Thereafter, the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the Daityas, and mankind performed sacrifices meant to please the Supreme Lord. Purport. The Daityas are devotees of the demigods, because they want to derive the greatest possible material facilities from them. The devotees of the Lord are Eka Nishta, or absolutely attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, they have practically no time to seek the benefits of material facilities. Because of their realization of their spiritual identity, they are more concerned with spiritual emancipation than with material comforts. So here we see in this canto, Cosmic Manifestation, Shukdev Goswami is describing how Brahma creates. So first of all, Vishnu creates. He creates all the ingredients. He is the primary creator. And as we heard in past few classes, that Brahma is only the architect or the secondary creator. He doesn't create the ingredients as such, but he just transforms them into various living entities and planetary systems and so on. So that's his desire. At the beginning of each day, he begins this process of creation. So Brahma is the most exalted living entity in the whole universe. And fortunately, the Brahma we have now is a great devotee of Lord, and we come in his parampara. So we are hearing about his activities, so it's very important to understand what is his mood. And actually, before creation, he prays to Lord. In third canto, we'll see that how he prays, that please Lord, let me not become proud of what I'm going to do. So as the followers of Lord Brahma, we have to also have the same mood, because we also create so many things. We have been provided opportunity to serve Lord, but we shouldn't become proud. Krishna never likes his devotees to become proud. So what he does is, if he sees that some devotee is becoming proud, by some tactic he arranges so that the pride would be broken. So we see in Srimad Bhagavatam how the great devotees who were on very big positions, like Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe, and Indra, who is the lord of the heaven. So they became proud at one stage, and they did something which was not appropriate. So Lord Krishna made sure that he would break their pride. So in the pastime of Brahma stealing the cows, so calves and the cowherd boys, and in the pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan hill, we see that how Krishna breaks the pride of these two devotees. So following in the footsteps of these devotees, we should understand that due to our past conditioning, it's very natural for us for the time being to become proud. Actually, it's natural for the spirit soul to be humble, because spirit soul is very tiny, very minute, infinitesimal. It's very small. So on the spiritual platform, there is no question of pride. But due to this conditioning, we become proud. And every now and then, we realize that also. So we should learn from these devotees like Brahma and Indra, that they learned a lesson and then they try not to become proud again. And they pray, always pray. So that's the trick. If we always pray, then we will never become proud. Because we stop the prayer when we think we are in control. So if we pray every day before everything we start, then we can never become proud. We have, during the day, we have different, we do different services. So before each service, we can pray to Lord, let me not become proud and let me do it, selflessly. So like that, we can compose our own prayers, or we can learn the prayers of these great devotees and repeat them. So Lord is very actually happy if you repeat prayers sung by great devotees. So all these shlokas are there in these beautiful Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, and other books. So here we see Lord Brahma. He is trying to create, because that's his desire, but he doesn't want to become proud. So what he does, he offers a sacrifice. So we were hearing about this sacrifice in last few verses. So he offers a sacrifice. He sacrifices the ingredients that Lord has already created, and he offers them back to the Lord. He collects them from the subtle body, subtle universal form. So as Narayani Mataji was explaining, there are two universal forms. One is the gross and one is the subtle. But here when we see Brahma is offering these ingredients, and that's from the subtle form, subtle universal form, Hiranyagarbha. So he's collecting these ingredients and he's offering. He's sacrificing. So in these Purusha Sukta prayers, he is glorifying the Lord and then he is making a sacrifice. So in Rig Veda also Purusha Sukta is given. So it's described that Sukta is a special type of an auspicious prayer. So Su means well or good, and Ukta means spoken. So a Sukta is a well-spoken thing, well-spoken prayer. So that's why we have Purusha Sukta here. So Brahma is reciting and glorifying the Lord, and then he creates. And then in the next chapter, which is chapter 7, we will see various incarnations. So Brahma creates, Lord Shiva destroys, and Vishnu maintains the whole universe. So there are these different incarnations which come through Vishnu to maintain the universe, and these will be described in the next chapter. So in every canto we have description of these incarnations. It's called Avatar Katha. So this is one of the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these topics related to the incarnations, and to some degree it's present in each canto. So coming back to the topic of sacrifice, if we discuss it in little detail, we can see the general word sacrifice is described by Bhurijan Prabhu in his book Unveiling the Lotus Feet. He describes the general definition of a sacrifice. If a layman defines it, it's like surrendering or offering something, you know, to someone or for some higher purpose. So you own something and you sacrifice or offer it to someone else. So that's a sacrifice. So many people, like, they sacrifice some of their time or money or effort in helping others for someone else. So they are actually glorified within the world, even on the mundane platform. So great personalities like social workers, like Mother Teresa and so on, they are well respected in the society because they sacrificed their efforts and their time for someone else. So here Brahma is also sacrificing the ingredients from the universal form to the Lord. But his understanding is complete. He understands that actually there is nothing which is not Krishna. So all these ingredients that he collects are from the body of the Lord, the universal body, and he is sacrificing them back to the Lord. So he understands that I'm not the proprietor or owner of these ingredients. They come from the Lord, and we are offering them to the Lord. As the famous example, some people, they stand in the Ganges water and they take some water in their palms and they offer it back to the Ganges. They didn't bring it from their home. They just collect from there and offer it to the Ganges. So same way, whatever we are offering, it doesn't belong to us. And if we recognize that it belongs to the Lord and we offer it to the Lord, then we benefit from that. So in the temple at the moment, offering is going on, yes, 8:05. So we are offering all these food preparations to Lord. So this is a sacrifice. So Tirthpad Prabhu goes to market, veg market. He gets all the ingredients from there twice a week, and then puts it in the cool room, and then the cooks come, they cook it. So they are sacrificing their time and effort, and then the pujari prepares the plate, brings it to the Lord and offers in the sacrifice. So all these devotees have done some sacrifice, but the ingredients originally came from the Lord himself. But we recognize as devotees that they belong to Lord, so first we offer them to the Lord. And what we get in return, so this is like an exchange. So as again Narayani Mataji, as she was describing, that the principle of dadati pratigrinati guhyam akhyati prichyati bhungte bhojayate chaiva shad vidha priti lakshanam. So this is one of the loving exchange. So we understand that Lord is a person, so we want to have an exchange, a reciprocation with him. So when devotees do a sacrifice and they perform an offering, so they are offering some food to Krishna. So what does Krishna do? He's not just like a statue. He also offers it back. So what we get in return is Mahaprasad. And it's so nectarian what Krishna returns, that actually devotees fight and they steal it. And there's a great anxiety. They run you know, at prasadam time, at mahaprasad, there is the maha. So that's what Krishna has returned. So that's his reciprocation. So he accepted what we offered to him in sacrifice, and then he returns the mahaprasad. So each service, whatever we offer in our daily routine, it can be an offering, and then Krishna would actually return the mahaprasad in the form of realizations. So all, Krishna is very active. Actually, it is said somewhere in Bhagavatam that the super soul within the heart is not inactive, is very active. But if we are actually conscious of the fact, that's what Krishna consciousness means, that we are conscious of Krishna. So before doing any service, if we are conscious that we are doing it as an offering to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate in the form of realizations, and so many realizations would come, and the whole life would change, and we can keep increasing the quality. So Krishna is known as the Yajna Purusha. So he's the personification of the sacrifice. So whatever we offer to him, it belongs to him, but we are purified in that process of offering. In Bhagavad Gita, it's described, Annan Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyad Anna Sambhava. So these grains are made possible when we, when there are rain, there is rain. And when we do yajna or sacrifice, then there is rain. So the sacrifice recommended for this day and age is Sankirtan Yajna, we had been discussing in last few days. So that's our main sacrifice that we do, the chanting of Hare Krishna. And here in purport, today's purport, Prabhupada mentions that the Daityas are the devotees of demigods. So they are offering a sacrifice to the demigods for material benefits. But pure devotees, they are ekanishtha. So they have only one pointed goal. They just want to satisfy Lord. They don't have any other agenda. And by that selflessness, by that selfless service, Lord is very much pleased. That, oh, this devotee doesn't want anything for himself. He just wants to serve me. So then Krishna gives himself to that devotee. So in the process, in the pure devotional service, actually there's nothing extra to it. In the sense, why are we chanting Hare Krishna? Is to chant more Hare Krishna. Why are we offering something to Lord? So that in future we can offer more. We'll, you know. So there's nothing extra to it. So why am I giving class? Or we are trying to glorify Krishna so that we can glorify him more. And why do we hear about Krishna? So that we can hear more. When we hear one time, so we are hearing about what? We are hearing Krishna's holy name, of course, but his qualities, about his form and his activities. So what happens when we hear about these transcendental attributes of Krishna? We become attracted to it. So then we want to hear more, and then more and more and more, like that. Rupa Goswami says these 2 years are not enough, and this one tongue, this is not enough. So pure devotees want to chant with millions of tongues, and they want to hear from millions of ears. So there is nothing extra to the pure devotional process. So that's why there is no frustration. Sometimes we are frustrated that I'm doing so much, I'm not getting enough. I was hearing Devamrit Maharaj's lecture. He was saying many times he asks people, because they keep changing the relationships, they keep changing the partners. So when he asks them, what happened, you know? So many of them, they say that, you know, I just ended that relationship because I was giving more than getting. So that's what in our relationship with Krishna, we fail to see that how much we are getting actually. So we see that, oh, I'm giving so much to Krishna, but I'm not getting enough. So that's why we slow down a bit. So in our giving process, we don't give it with full heart. So by hearing this Nityam Bhagavat Sevya, what happens is Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So as it's described, Eka Nishtha. So we are actually fixed. We understand that, oh, and we can see by realization of others that, oh, Krishna is giving actually so much. So Krishna is like desire tree. So if you approach a desire tree and worship it properly, then it gives you whatever you desire. So that's the thing. It's not that just you approach it and you want something, you just put your demand and it's provided. No, you have to worship the desire tree properly. That's the condition. So that's what very important thing for all the devotees to understand is, many times we think that these, you know, Krishna is reciprocating so much with this other devotee and not with me. So we actually doubt in Krishna's reciprocation. But Krishna is like desire tree. Desire tree is not partial to anyone, provided that we worship it properly. So same way, Krishna is reciprocating with others more because they are trying to please Krishna more. So that's the point. But if we try to please Krishna more, then he would reciprocate with us also in the same fashion or even more. So he's not partial. So this point is very important to understand. So just by the single pointed Eka Nishtha, if we just keep doing our service in a fixed way, so then eventually we will reap the fruits. So there's a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where this one-pointed attention is described. So there it says in first canto actually, Tasmadekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyascha dheya pujyascha nityada. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So then in purport, Prabhupada writes very nicely, I'll just read a part of it. So there actually Prabhupada is saying, actually everyone is glorifying someone. This tendency of glorifying is there. So we are glorifying mundane people. So here it says, sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda. And by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good either for the particular man or for the society. So this is what is happening. They are falsely trying to glorify someone who is not qualified. But in case of Krishna, it's not that. He is the most qualified person. And when you try to glorify, even if your attempt is not very good, still you get a lot of benefit. But if we glorify some mundane person, then you know there is no benefit to that person and to you. There is no benefit. And just a personal example, very embarrassing also, but so like we try to glorify so many movie stars, cricket stars, you know, always we try to glorify them. So when I was just finishing school, I had these different posters of cricket stars and Arnold Schwarzenegger, bodybuilder. So I used to very glorify them also. And, you know, I bought a big, it was a big, like a whole scripture. It was called the Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. I was like, oh, yeah, this, you know, is my role model. And whoever, if my friends would come, someone would come, I would glorify. Just see, I would open. It was a full color encyclopedia of all the photos and exercises. So, but nothing happened, you know. I did not benefit. And if you see the news, he's a very unqualified person, actually. He was in so many scandals. So I was trying to glorify an unqualified person. So he did not improve and nothing happened. There was no benefit for me. But here our very small attempts to glorify Krishna will actually benefit us so much. In our small way, if we just glorify Krishna, somehow, whoever we meet, we tell something about Krishna. Whatever, like we heard something, or we read something, we saw something, we can just glorify. Oh, did you see the dress today? This was the color of the dress. And, you know, did you see the necklace? That's it. Even if we do a little bit consciously, then we can see the benefit. Because this is nothing small. This is related to Krishna directly. And whatever is directly related to Krishna, we get direct benefit. Otherwise, we see that bahunam janmanam ante gyanvan mam prapadyate. If you try to go in an indirect way, then you can just pass birth after birth, and then maybe you will be successful. Aruya krichrena, very hard. That's a very hard way to go, the other way. This jnana mark or any other karma. Karma marg is basically many times you'll be just stuck in this material realm because you're trying to reap these material benefits. So it's described here. The daityas, those who actually worship demigods for material benefit, they are called daityas. So they'll be stuck in this material world because material benefits are available only in the material world. Right? So we'll be stuck here. Even if we do punya, so we have to come back to reap the result. But by this sacrifice process, we can actually transcend this material world. And most munificent incarnation of Krishna is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he has given this Sankirtan yagya to us. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they came. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that they have arisen just like sun and the moon. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandau Sahoditau Gaudodaye Pushpavantau Chitrau Shandau Tamonudau. So on the horizon of Gaudadesh, Bengal, they have arisen just as sun and moon simultaneously. And this is very wonderful. And what are they doing? As we hear in Bhagavad Gita, what's the function of sun and the moon? They dissipate the darkness. So they have arisen and they are dissipating the darkness of Kali Yuga. So they have given us this Sankirtan process. So that's their magnanimity. So we have to take full benefit of it. So I'll read one verse. This is from the second chapter of Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's very similar to the first verse of Shad Goswami Ashtak. Krishnot Kirtan Gan Nartan Parau Prema Mritambo Nidhi. So here it starts off with the same words, but then it's a little different. Krishnot Kirtan Gan Nartan Kala Patho Jani Bhrajita Shad Bhaktavali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa Shrini Viharaspadam. So here it says Krishnot Kirtan. Krishna's Utkirtan means loud chanting of Krishna's names. And then of course Gan Nartan, the singing and the dancing that we just did. So all this actually is very nectarian. So it is said our tongue is like a desert. It's very dry. So, but when we recite, when we sing about Krishna, we chant Krishna's name, we try to glorify Krishna, so then it's like we are over-flooding our tongue with nectar. And that happens in the association of devotees. Satam prasangan mama vira samvido. So to discuss something, to glorify something, we need another person. So that's why it's very important. We generally stay so close together, and we see each other every day. So it's very easy to become familiar with each other. But if for 1 month, 2 months, we happen to be in a place where there are no devotees, then we can actually understand what's the importance of each devotee. We would like to at least see one person and then, you know, discuss about Krishna. So that's the real nectar. And it never finishes. It's unending. And devotees relish that. In Bhagavad Gita, as it's mentioned, Machitta Madgat Prana, Bodhyanta Parasparam, Kathayantascha Mam Nityam, Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. So Mam Nityam, Nityam means always. It can happen always. All the time you can actually glorify Krishna in the association of devotees. And in that way we'll be fully satisfied. Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. We'll be satisfied and we'll take pleasure in it. Like that. So by this Sankirtan process, the goal is not different than the means, as we discussed. There is nothing extra. So if we keep glorifying Krishna, we'll get the ability to glorify Krishna more. So that is what will happen. We won't, you know, stop glorifying Krishna. And then we'll get the real treasure. So people have so many things that they consider valuable, you know, their different cars or houses, their bank balance, they consider it very valuable. But it's all temporary. So how can it be in real sense valuable? So the only thing valuable as per Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vaishnavas, it is said by Narottam Das Thakur, Golokera Premadan Hari Naam Sankirtan. So what is the real dhana or the treasure or the wealth? That's premadan. So Krishna Prem is the real dhan. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also it's described that Panchama Purushartha Sei Prema Mahadan. So this is the fifth goal of life. So four goals, as we know, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. They are within the, they are not very important actually. For devotees, this panchama, the fifth goal, is prema mahadhan. This Krishna prem is the mahadhan. It's not only wealth, but it's the greatest wealth. As we know, there are so many mantras, thousands and thousands and millions of mantras in Vedas. But what is the maha mantra that we chant? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So same way we acknowledge that yes, there are so many treasures, things which can be considered as dhan, but what is mahadhan? So that is prema. So we should aspire to get that mahadhan, and the process is very simple, as it's been exemplified by our seniors. So the senior most person in the parampara, of course, after Krishna, is Lord Brahma. So he is exhibiting it by doing this sacrifice process. So just to conclude, we should be very careful while doing different services to Krishna. And if we are just conscious, if we consciously offer our service to Krishna, then we can see the reciprocation from Krishna also. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Yes, Pooja.
Yeah, so here it's mentioned great devotees of demigods. That, yeah. So like many demons, if we see in Krishna book, they were actually great worshippers of Lord Shiva, like Bhaumasur, Banasur. Banasur worshipped Lord Shiva so much, he gave him thousands of arms. And he used to play drums, like when Lord Shiva used to dance, he would play drums with his thousand arms. So, but he was a demon. In the whole sacrifice, as I understand, the demigods also get the share. But the Daityas may be involved in the sacrifice, but their main motive is to get material benefits. They want to satisfy the demigods, as it's mentioned in the purport by Prabhupada. The Daityas are devotees of demigods because they want to derive the greatest possible material facilities from them. So, ultimate beneficiary of any sacrifice is Vishnu, Moktaram, Yagya, Tapasam. But the demigods get their share And these Daityas may be involved in the sacrifice, but their main goal is to just please these subsidiary demigods and get their benefit out of it.
So is this like coming to in the third chapter of the Vedas, so then you have that problem, so it's in that direction?
Yes, yes. I think Aniruddha Prabhu was also saying, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, with the mutual understanding of men and demigods, ultimately everything will be provided by Vishnu for their maintenance in the universe.
You mentioned about the desert trees can be held worship
properly. Yeah, if you just ask from desire tree, you may not get it. You have to do austerity. This whole canto, yes.
So how this one is related with this cosmic manifestation?
So we see this Brahma is offering prayers to the universal form of the Lord, and then he creates. So he manifests. With his creative potency, he manifests everything. We will see later how all the living entities and other things are produced. Anything else? Yes,
cool. But, sir, one more point. You were saying about verse in first canto.
Yes.
Bhagavad Gita also Krishna said, Eke
Guru Nanda. Eke Guru Nanda. Yes. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
I would request you to elaborate a little on this Ekanishta.
Ekanishta, yes.
By the Bhakti, especially when we have been giving, we don't even seek benefits from Lord Vishnu. Our exclusive devotion is to Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya.
Yes, Ekanishta means, here it Prabhupada writes, Ekanishta means absolutely attached to the devotional service of the Lord. So that's devotees, what they want, they just want to serve Krishna. That's their fixed goal, nothing else. So their motive is to please Krishna. So that, you know, and they are fixed in that. So if there is any other opportunity for sense gratification, they are not inclined towards that. There may be other opportunities for satisfaction, but they just try to satisfy the Lord, and they are fixed in it. Right? So like for example, 7:30 to 8:30, the best way to please Lord, if we are not rostered or asked by authorities to do some other service, so the best way to please Lord is to hear about Him in the class. But there are other opportunities also. You can go and have burfis, or, you know, you can talk about something else in the courtyard, or, you know, call someone else. You know, unless it's important and you're meant to do, that's okay. But if you have Ekanishta, means I just want to do this service now. So that's it, for the pleasure of Lord. Like that. So that's Ekanishta. So we are not on the Nishta platform. What happens, there is equilibrium. So as in Bhagavad Gita we see Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukadukada Agamapa Yeno Nitya Stan Stitikshaswa Bharata. So such a fixed devotee, he tolerates these dualities and he just goes on, he does the service. Example there is given of like a housewife, even if it's, you know, hot season, she would just, she's fixed, she'll go in the kitchen which is even hotter and she would just cook. So like that. So Ekanishta means we just do the service which is required to be done, whatever the external situation or internal mental situation is. So then that's Ekanishta. Okay, Prabhu, yes.
There's one more verse in same chapter, sixth chapter, second canto. Brahmani is saying the same thing. I'm fully filled in the service of Krishna. That's why I'm so successful and able to create the whole material universe. Very nice. Fully surrendered. Ek nishtha.
Thank you.
You might have read it.
Yes, I might have. Okay, thank you very much. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.